2 Peter chapter 3:18. And yes, we are going to read it out loud again. So all together, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now we've covered that God's commandment in this is to grow. It is a commandment. If you're not growing, you're in rebellion to God. Simple way to put it. A lot of people don't like to hear that, but God doesn't like to have a bunch of ball and squall and immature baby Christians running through the churches causing trouble. He wants us to grow so that we can be a blessing, not just to Him, but that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ. And God says that we can grow. One of the ways that we can grow is in grace. And we took a look at this, or we are in the midst of taking a look at this, actually. We found out that the word charis, or the word carol, is the word for grace, and it means joy, favor, acceptance, the absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God. We've taken a look at joy and how that joy is something we have to choose. It's something that if we don't want it, we don't have to have it. But the only way we're going to get it is to choose it. It's not that it isn't something that is already available to us. Let me give you an example. Think of it like this. If you go home tonight and you're thirsty and you want a drink of water, what are you going to do? Well, you go into the kitchen and you open up the cabinet and you reach in and you grab your, you know, your Flintstones cup and you go over to the faucet. And what do? You turn on the water, right? And then you stick your cup underneath there and you fill it up and you get a drink. Now, if you're like Mike over here, he doesn't get his Flintstones cup. He just turns on the faucet and sticks his mouth down there and drinks as it's coming out. See, you didn't know I knew that, did you? But now think of it like this. The water is right there, isn't it? I mean, if you stick your face up underneath the spigot and you turn on, you'll get wet in the face, won't you? Because it's right there. It's just waiting for you to turn it on. Now, what if you call the water company and say, "Hey, you bums, I'm thirsty and I want a drink." And they check the records and they say, "But your water is turned on." "But I'm thirsty and I want a drink." They say, "Well, have you turned on the spigot?" And you say, "Well, no, I haven't done that." And they say, "Well, you dummy," and they hang up on you. And then they talk about you for the next month. "You should have heard this fool that called us saying they wanted a drink of water. And they didn't even turn on a spigot." Well, see, that's the way it is with joy. It's already where? Here, you see. That's because it's gift of the Spirit, fruit of the Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit in you? Yes, He is. All right, then joy is there. So you have to choose it to partake of it. That's the way it is with anything, with God. So we choose joy, and our life is so totally changed. And then also, as far as that definition of grace, right along with that comes the favor and the acceptance. And we examine the fact that we have total favor and acceptance with God. Total favor and acceptance with God. Now, don't misunderstand that I am saying everything you say and do God looks at with total favor and acceptance, because we know that's not true. But you see, when you're His child and you've been washed in the blood and your sin is as far as the east is from the west, what that means is God looks at you with total favor and acceptance. You, because you're His child and He loves you. He loves you. And He's always, always, always wanting to restore you back to the closeness of an intimate relationship with Him whenever you make a mistake. And we looked at the example of Peter, how that Jesus had told Peter that you're going to deny me and you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, "No, I'm not." And sure enough, he did. And then Jesus three times asked him, "Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me? Simon, do you love me?" For every time that Peter denied Christ, Jesus sought to restore him back to that relationship. And then He said, "Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep." You see that? Well, see, that's what God wants you to know. He wants you to know that you have total favor and acceptance with Him. And if you make a mistake, you can go back to Him. And you can say, "Yes, Lord, I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me." And He says, "I forgive you. And I still love you. Now, go feed my sheep. Go minister. Go do that thing that I've told you to do. I still want to use you. I'm not going to cast you out of the kingdom. You're mine. You're mine, and I love you. So we have total favor and acceptance. Now listen, folks, whether you ever get another blessing in your life, just the fact of knowing that you have total favor and acceptance with God, man, that should build you up on the inside and strengthen you on the inside to know that God loves you and He looks at you with total favor and acceptance. He'll help you clean out all that stuff that's disappointing, but He looks at you with that total favor and acceptance. And so that brings us then to the remainder of that definition of charis, which is the absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God. The absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God. How many of you like something free? I mean, isn't it neat when you get something in the mail and there on that envelope it says free in big letters and you think, oh, boy, I got something free. And so you rip open the envelope and you yank out all the insides and you begin to read to see what it is you've got free. And what you got for free was a record album or a compact disc of Jim Martin's greatest hits. And Jim Martin sings with Slim Whitman the hymns of the church. But you've got to subscribe to the Jim Martin magazine, see, for 12 months before you get that thing. So, wouldn't you say there's kind of a catch right there? Now, the only way that you would get it for free is if somebody loved you enough to pay for that subscription so that you could not only get the great magazines, oh, but you'd get those compact discs. And you could read the magazine and listen to the music and just, oh, be blessed. And that's if somebody else paid for it, you see. Well, when it talks about the absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God and the work of that loving kindness, well, you see, in order for you to be a partaker of all that God has, it wasn't totally free. Somebody had to pay a price. And you see, that somebody was Jesus. That somebody was Jesus. And so Jesus paid the price so that you could get all of this for free. When you accept Jesus, all of everything else comes with it. See? Nothing is left out. It's all made available to you. And so, the absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God is free for you because you don't have to pay for it. Jesus has already paid for it. Amen. Aren't you glad Jesus done paid? You know, it's just like when you go out to eat and you're getting ready to leave and the waitress has never bought your ticket and you can't figure out what's going on. And you say, hey, yo, waitress, come here. And the waitress comes over and says, I'd like to leave, but I need my check. And she says, well, somebody else has already paid for it. Wouldn't that feel good? Somebody else has already paid for it. Who was it? Oh, I don't know. They got up and left, but they paid for your meal. Well, see, that feels good. And I'm going to tell you what. It feels good to know that everything in this word that God has promised, Jesus has paid for. Hallelujah. And He's made it available to us through Him, through Jesus. The absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God is one of the greatest gifts that God has ever given us is His loving kindness. It's better than money. It's better than houses. It's better than cars. It's better than gold. It's better than anything else. And you don't want to know something? I'm even going to say it's better than having the perfect wife or the perfect husband. It really is. It's better than that. Because you see, you can have the best marriage in the world, but if you don't have the loving kindness of God alive on the inside of you, man, what good is the marriage, really? What good is anything else? And so, the loving kindness of God is one of the greatest gifts that He could ever give us. He's given it to us for free. Jesus has already paid the price. There's nothing we can do to earn it. Nothing we can do to earn it. Nothing, see? You can't go out and wash enough car windows, and you can't go out and cut enough grass for retired people, and you can't do like Sharon thought she was going to have to do and clip a bunch of toenails for people in the retired home. I mean, you can't do enough of this stuff to earn God's loving kindness. It's free. It's absolutely free. God's given it to us. And He's going to love you no matter what. He's going to love you no matter what. You know, so many times in singles ministry, you run into folks who feel so alone in the world, and they feel like nobody really loves them. They feel like, well, you know, I don't have any friends. And especially if they live alone, there will be times where they can lay down at night to go to sleep, and they can just literally, they'll cry themselves to sleep. Men or women, it doesn't matter. They'll cry themselves to sleep because they just don't feel loved. Well, you see, God, I'll tell you right now, folks, you may come to the point in your life and in your relationships to where you may not feel loved by anybody, but if you will turn your focus to God, and it's hard to do sometimes, and I know that, but if you will, you know what? He will begin on the inside of you to fill you with the presence of His love. And He will begin to manifest that on the inside of you. And I'll tell you what, you can literally experience a fellowship with God that you've never known when you begin to focus in on His loving kindness. Now, the word charis is the direct opposite of the word erga. Say that word, erga. All right, charis, grace, is the direct opposite of the word erga, which in essence means works. Charis, grace, erga, works. The charis of God is freely given because humanity cannot produce enough erga to justify the charis. The loving kindness of God is free, but it's never experienced until it's received, just like a Christmas, you know, gift or a birthday gift. When we ask Jesus into our hearts, we receive the free loving kindness of God and all that it contains. Everything that comes along with that. Have you ever opened up a Christmas present or a birthday present, and it was maybe one of those little remote control cars, or maybe it was a flashlight, or it was something that required batteries? Well, what's it say there on the box? It says batteries not included, right? So you've got a gift that basically is useless until you get the batteries in the thing, right? I mean, you can play with the switch on that flashlight all you want, and you're not going to get any light until you get the batteries in there. Well, you see, with Jesus Christ, when you ask Him in, He brings the batteries too. Hallelujah. He brings the batteries too, and everything works. All you have to do is flip the switch. All you have to do is flip the switch, because everything comes with Jesus, including the loving kindness of God, the absolute freeness of the loving kindness of God. Let's take a look at this, and we're just going to examine a few points on what comes with this loving kindness of God and the freedom of what He has given us, or how free what He has given us really is, because there's so much that you could study on this. But I want you to first off turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And I want you, when you get to Romans chapter 6, I want you to turn over to verse 18, because I want you to read this with me. You say, why do you make us read out loud? Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by, let's try it again. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing, there you go. I'm catching on to this thing about the spoken word more and more than I ever have before. And I think it's good for us as a body to read out loud. One of the reasons, I'm not casting any stones, but let's face it, for some people, this is the only time during the work they ever read the Bible. Not me, Pastor. That's okay. I know none of you here. It's just the people that aren't here tonight. They're the ones that do that, right? All right, Romans chapter 6. Now look at verse 18 and read it out loud. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Hallelujah. Did you know that you are free from sin? Free from sin. Glory to God. I'm free from sin. Say that with me. I'm free from sin. See, what this means is that you're not free from the potential to commit sinful acts. I mean, let's face it. You could leave here tonight and go find somebody and commit adultery. Now, couldn't you? You could leave here tonight, drive to some bar, and get so drunk you have to call me at 3 in the morning to come and get you. I'll call you a cab. But no, we have the potential to go do those things, but we are free from the control of sin. You see, we are totally free from the bondage of sin. We're free from its domination. We are free from its curse. And we are free from its originator. We're free. Who is that? Satan. Yeah. We're free from Satan. Now, you see, the devil doesn't want you to believe that. He wants you to believe that he can come and mess with you anytime he wants. He wants you to believe that he's still got a hold on part of you. He wants you to believe that all this stuff you hear about how his power is broken and so forth, it's not really true. Remember, who was that? Flip Wilson years ago used to say, you know, the devil made me do it. No, listen, for a born-again Christian, listen very closely to this. For a born-again Christian, the devil can make you do nothing. He can't make you do anything. He can't come up to you and say, listen, you're going to do this thing right here, and there's nothing you can do about it. And there's no way you can stop. You have to, because I'm the devil. That's not true. Because you see, when you are born again, you're free from sin. You're free from its bondage. You're free from its shackles. You're free from its curse, and you're free from the devil, the originator of sin. You're free from this. You're no longer stuck in sin. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm chapter 40, verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He established my goings. How many of you have your goings established? Listen, there are times in your life when you're going to feel like, I don't know which way to turn. Anybody ever been there before? Stuff going on, man, you feel like that you're in like a house of mirrors, that everywhere you turn is just a reflection of your problems coming right back at you. And you don't understand what to do, where to go. And if you did know where to go, you wouldn't know what to do when you got there. I mean, you just feel like everything's a mess. But God has established your goings. Remember in The Wizard of Oz, how that the tornado came, picked up the house, dropped the house in the land of Oz. And Dorothy comes out of the house. And the Munchkins start singing that little song, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. Remember that? I used to want to stay home from church on Sunday nights just to watch The Wizard of Oz, and Mom and Dad wouldn't let me. I think one year I faked like I was sick just so I could stay home and watch it. And I got away with it, but I think they caught on next year. It didn't work. But they said, Follow the Yellow Brick Road. All right. You know what that meant? That meant that there was already a yellow brick road established for her to follow. Now, when you come to Jesus Christ, what happens is this. He takes you and frees you from the control and the bondage of sin. He establishes you on the rock of your salvation. And then he says, I have also established your goings. It's already laid out for you. It's already there. And when you turn to my Spirit, what I'm going to do is to begin to reveal to you your goings. I will begin to reveal to you that road that you are to take. Sometimes the devil tries to imitate it. Sometimes he does his best to construct a pathway that looks just like the one that God has put before you. He sometimes will even lay a path before you that leads into a ministry area. But if it is not the ministry area God wants you in, don't take it. See, that's why it's so important to pray about everything that you do. Pray about your jobs. Pray about where God wants you to go to church, where God wants you to go minister. Pray about your boyfriends, your girlfriends, your husbands, your wives. I mean, to pray about these things. Don't take anything for granted. Because I'm going to tell you what, man, the devil is sly. He is sly. And he'll do his best to mess up your life. But we have been made free from sin. Made free from sin. Now look at that word, made free from sin. You know why? That's because the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a what? New creature. What that means is that you have been newly created. You have been made free or created free from sin. The old man was in bondage to sin. But when you said, Jesus, I want to be born again, He came in and recreated you. You are a new creature in Christ. And in the process of that recreation, you were made free from sin. You're not in bondage to sin anymore. You're not in bondage. Think of it like this. Let's say that you've got a t-shirt. And it's green. But you don't want it to be green anymore. You want it to be purple. So what do? You go to the store, you buy a box of that RIT dye, and you come home and you dye that t-shirt. Now the t-shirt is purple. It has been made free from green. You don't see any more green on that t-shirt, do you? No, it's been made free from green. You were made free from sin. You were made free from sin. God washed you in the blood of Jesus Christ, you see. And you were made free from sin and free from its curse and free from the devil himself. The devil has no hold on you. Now look in Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Read this out loud now. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of charis and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Or in other words, you know what? God's loving kindness has given us the gift of righteousness. Now, you know what that means? That means that we don't have to worry about creating the conditions of a relationship with God so that we can have fellowship with Him. There are times that we get caught up in something that we have done that we know was disobedient unto God. So what we try to do is make it right. It's kind of like you drop a coffee cup and you know you got to put it back together. So you get the super glue out and you try to recreate the conditions where you can drink a cup of coffee. Well, when we do something that we see has created a breach in that close fellowship with God, we try to go back and we try in our own efforts to correct it so that we can be restored in that fellowship with God. But what God is saying is there is this thing called righteousness, and it is a free gift to you, and in the process of receiving Jesus, you have become my righteousness. You are my righteousness through Christ Jesus. And therefore, the conditions for that relationship have already been established so that you can have that close relationship with me. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The blood of Jesus Christ has already created the conditions necessary for us to approach God, even if we blow it. Even if we blow it, because that condition still exists through the blood of Jesus Christ, where now we can go to God. We can go boldly, even though we did something we said we would never do. Just like Peter, "I'll never deny you, Christ." We say, "Oh, I would never do this, and I would never do that." And then as soon as we do it, we feel like, "Oh, now look, I've blown it. Now God's mad at me. Now God didn't have anything to do with me." But the blood of Jesus Christ says you can come boldly to the throne of grace so that you can do what? Obtain mercy. Obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. You're not going to be in any greater need than when you have blown it and you've done something that God says don't do. Man, you talk about being in a time of need. You need that relationship restored. And God said, the blood of Jesus Christ has paved the way so that you can come boldly into my presence. You can come boldly and approach my throne of grace to obtain mercy, to be a partaker of the mercy that you need. I haven't stopped loving you. I still love you, but I want you back here with me. I want you here in my presence. I want you right next to me so that you can experience the fullness of my mercy, so that you can experience the fullness of my charis, my grace, so that you can know that yes, you're still my child, and I have not forsaken you, and I have not rejected you. Why? Because you have the gift of righteousness, my righteousness, and because it is my righteousness, it therefore establishes you as a born-again Christian, as my child, as one who is qualified to come into my presence at any time to obtain that mercy and that grace. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the righteousness of God and how it has been shared and put and placed on the inside of you, and that you have become the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus? Man, that's neat. And listen, don't ever think that you have sinned so greatly that you can't get back to God. And see, this is something that so many Christians deal with. They get out there and they do things and they feel like, I've gone too far, God would never take me back. I've done too much, God would never receive me again. Man, that's a lie of the devil. It is a lie of the devil. God says, you're welcome back. Remember the prodigal son? Man, this guy was eating in the pig pen, wallowing in the mud, trying to find dinner. And he says, this is stupid. At least the servants back home had it better than me. I'll at least go back home and get hired on as a servant. He may never accept me again as a son, but I could at least go back and be a servant. At least he had the smarts to realize where the source of the blessings existed. It's back with the Father. And even though you may not think that you could be totally restored to what you had in your relationship with Him before, at least go back. At least go back to that throne. Because you know what? As soon as you turn from what you're doing and you take that step toward God, you know what He does? He takes out that robe and He places it upon your shoulders. He takes out that ring and He places it on your finger. And He says, I've been waiting for you. He says, kill the fatted calf. It's time to rejoice. My son has come home. Hallelujah. The gift of righteousness makes this possible for you in your relationship with God. Now turn over to Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Is everybody in Psalm chapter 51? You will be soon. It's an easy book to find in the Bible, right? Smack dab in the middle. Is everybody there? Psalm chapter 51. Now take a look at verse 12 and read it out loud. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Hallelujah. Uphold me with thy free spirit. God's loving kindness has given to us His very own Holy Spirit. He's given His very own Holy Spirit to us. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, we place a lot of emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And sometimes we give people the impression, sometimes we make the baptism of the Holy Ghost so hard. But it doesn't have to be difficult. And I know I was at a church one time where there was a pastor, I think it was down in Portsmouth, who was holding a revival. It was a Holy Ghost revival, meaning that he wanted to have a revival of the relationship with the Holy Ghost and his church stirred by the power of the Holy Ghost. And he had different preachers come in each night to preach on a specific topic concerning the Holy Ghost. And so I was the speaker on Wednesday night, and I got down there and I preached, and I said at the close of the service there was an invitation for anybody, you know, if you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence speaking in tongues, come on up. And these two kids came up. They weren't very old. Well, the one boy, you could see on his face, he wanted it so bad. But they scared him. He was standing like right here, and I'm up here trying to pray for him, and he was standing just a young kid about like this, and these people just
It's like they were smothering him. Oh, let it loose, son. Let it loose. Just let go. Let God. Come on, boy. Let it loose. And he's standing there like, oh. And he was terrified. They were scaring the poor kid. I wanted to say, everybody shut up and just go sit down and let me minister to this kid, because it ain't happening while you're up here scaring the kid. And he knew everybody was standing around him. Here, son, it's like this. Like this, son. So I thought, man, why don't you be able to shut up and let the Holy Ghost do the work? Let the Holy Ghost do the work. I was in a service one time up in Huber Heights. Same kind of service. Anybody want to receive baptism in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues? Two people came up. There's a lady and a man. And now the thing is, I'm over here praying for this man, all right? I said, now, Bob, I'll call him Bob. I said, now, Bob, I said, now you just lift your hands up to the Lord and just let the Lord begin to minister to you, all right? Don't you try to force anything. You just let the Lord, and I begin to share with him and I speak to him. And so he lifts his hands, and again, everybody crowds around him, you know, like bees on honey, man. Just, they're all over him. And they're just, and he's going, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus, praise you, Jesus. I said, Bob, you know, wait a second, man, don't, and I'm trying to whisper in his ear, because it was kind of confusing. But now the thing is, he's up there trying to manufacture something, okay? And everybody's around him trying to... And while I'm praying for him, this woman has the audacity to get the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, and I didn't even get to lay hands on her and pray for her. That's not the way it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to be the one to lay hands on him and have it happen. I'm the preacher in this thing. But you know what the difference was? And she just came up and said, okay, God. Yeah. And there it was. There it was, you see. God has given us the Holy Spirit for free. What we do is we have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us and through us how God wants the Holy Spirit to minister to us and through us. And when we come to the point to where we're willing to say, okay, Holy Spirit, whatever you want. Yeah, I'm coming to the point now to where I believe one of the best places in the world to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues is home alone. Really. And the reason I say that is because of all the stuff, you know, these people say, you know, hold on, boy, just hold, turn loose, let God, turn, hold on, son, hold on. He didn't, you know, what do you do? Hold on, let go, jump, shout, shut up, what do you do? It's not that tough. And some people have this thing. They think, well, you know, I don't want to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the evidence of speaking in tongues, because if I do, I'll be up there at the altar, and all of a sudden I'm going to get possessed. And I'm going to, you know, my body's going to start convulsing, and my jaw's going to start flapping up and down, and weird things are going to happen. That's not the way it is with God. Let me tell you what. If you're born again, you're already possessed. Because the Bible says we're His possession. See, you're already possessed. You got Jesus on the inside of you. You got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. They're already in there. Nothing weird is going to happen. God doesn't operate with epileptic seizures, folks. He doesn't do it that way. He is a loving God. And you know what? If you're terrified of that experience, I personally believe that you won't receive it at that moment. I believe if you're so scared that you put up that inner barrier to the working of the Holy Spirit loves you so much, He will not force Himself on you. He won't. I've heard stories of people come up, get prayed for, tearing at the altar. God, give me, give me, give me. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit. Nothing happens. Go home, lay their head down at bed at night. Boom. God falls on them. There it is. Well, how'd that happen? Driving in the car. There it is. Not supposed to happen that way. That's not what they teach you in church. Hey, listen. It'll happen anywhere, anytime, if you are willing to allow the Holy Spirit to manifest His power on the inside of you. See? Why? Because it's free. Because it's free. And God has given us His Spirit for free. Now look over in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. Out loud with me. Now read this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. The loving kindness of God has given you the gift of eternal life, not the gift of eternity. the gift of eternal life. Hallelujah. The gift of eternal life. There are people, I guess I'll just go ahead and say this. I don't mean to cast stones. And I know that there are a lot of Catholic people who love the Lord. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, man. I mean, the power of God flows through them. But I also know that within the Catholic Church, there is a teaching that when somebody dies, you got to pray them into heaven because they're stuck in some kind of a netherworld, purgatory. And depending upon how much money you give to the church, that's how hard the priest prays or how much oil he sprinkles or how much incense he burns. And I'm not trying to make fun. Please don't misunderstand me. But see, there are people that believe this. And they have a hard time understanding that when you ask Jesus into your heart and you're born again, guess what? You have eternal life. Hallelujah. Because it says right here, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, the gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You do not get eternal life through the burning of incense or the sprinkling of water or the shaking of oil or the giving of money or the prayer of somebody whose collar is turned backwards. You don't get eternal life that way. You get eternal life through Jesus Christ. And when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your sin was washed away. But at the same time, you received eternal life. Eternal life. You're going to live forever. There's this, Brother Bill was sharing this morning in the Sunday school class about this article where these people are saying that, well, you know, the ultimate punishment is just the cessation of existence. That you just cease to be. You just aren't anymore. Well, you know, it's harder for me to imagine something like that than it is for me to imagine eternal life. Why? Because I'm so full of life. And so are you. Can you imagine just not being anymore? As though you never were? That's weird. That is weird. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you, there is existence after death. We don't just cease to exist. Eternity will be spent somewhere. And the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ. It's a gift. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Didn't he say that? I go to prepare a place for you. If it weren't true, I would have told you so. Because you see, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Why prepare a place for somebody who maybe or maybe not is going to get there? If you pray hard, if you die and somebody that you left behind prays hard enough, maybe they'll get you up here. I mean, I've heard stories about a family is going to the priests and saying, you know, you got to pray for dad to get him to heaven, get him to heaven. Go, got to pray, pray. And going, and the priest saying, well, he's almost there. He's almost there. We need just a little bit more money and pray a little bit harder. We can burn a few more incense sticks and shake a little bit more water. And I'm sure we can get him in by next month this time. I've heard that kind of stuff. Man, that's, how would you like to be in that position? Depending on the prayers of another human being to get your loved ones into eternal life. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Eternal life comes through Jesus Christ. Folks, you may think at times you've got it good in this life. And we do. Really, all of us in this room, we do have it good. No matter how bad we may think our circumstances are right now, fact of the matter is, we've got it good. There's always somebody who's got it worse. And we do. We're a blessed people. No matter what we have now, there is something better that is waiting for us. There's something better that's waiting for us. And Jesus Christ has made that possible. Would you please stand?